1 Samuel chapter 10. God's word says this: Then Samuel took a flask of oil and poured it on his head and kissed him and said, Has not the Lord anointed you to be prince over his people Israel? And you shall reign over the people of the Lord, and you will save them from the hand of their surrounding enemies. And this shall be the sign to you that the Lord has anointed you to be prince over his heritage. When you depart from me today, you will meet two men by Rachel's tomb in the territory of Benjamin at Zelzah. And they will say to you, The donkeys that you went to seek are found, and now your father has ceased to care about the donkeys and is anxious about you, saying, What shall I do about my son? Then you shall go on from there further and come to the oak of Tabor. Three men going up to God at Bethel will meet you there, one carrying three young goats, another carrying three loaves of bread, and another carrying a skin of wine. And they will greet you and give you two loaves of bread, which you shall accept from their hand. After that, you shall come to Gibeah Elohim, where there is a garrison of the Philistines. And there, as soon as you come to the city, you will meet a group of prophets coming down from the high place with harp, tambourine, flute, and lyre before them, prophesying. Then the Spirit of the Lord will rush upon you, and you will prophesy with them and be turned into another man. Now when these signs meet you, do what your hand finds to do, for God is with you. Then go down before me to Gilgal, and behold, I am coming down to you to offer burnt offerings and to sacrifice peace offerings. 7 days you shall wait until I come to you and show you what you shall do. When he turned his back to leave Samuel, God gave him another heart. And all of the signs came to pass that day. When they came to Gibeah, behold, a group of prophets met him, and the Spirit of God rushed upon him, and he prophesied among them. And when all who knew him previously saw how he prophesied with the prophets, the people said to one another, What has come over the son of Kish? Is Saul among the prophets? And a man of the place answered, And who is their father? Therefore it became a proverb, Is Saul among the prophets? When he had finished prophesying, he came to the high place. Saul's uncle said to him and to his servant, Where did you go? And he said, To seek the donkeys. And when we saw they were not to be found, we went to Samuel. And Saul's uncle said, Please tell me what Samuel said to you. And Saul said to his uncle, He told us plainly that the donkeys had been found. But about the matter of the kingdom of which Samuel had spoken, he did not tell him anything. This is the word of the Lord.
Amen. On your way down, please turn around and introduce yourself to somebody. If you're already down, get back up. No. All righty. I appreciate you guys. Listen, around here, we really want people to know one another and be known, and that may be the start of something for you. So I really want to encourage you. The person you just met, hopefully you got their name as you leave today. Make sure and say something to them again, and hopefully, as I said, that becomes the beginning of a relationship that you're connected here in this body. It leads to more than just an introduction. On May the 6th, 2023, is a Saturday morning, there was an event that happened that the entire world really kind of was watching. Millions upon millions upon millions of people were watching it. It was the coronation of Prince Charles to become King Charles. And my wife got up really, really early to watch it. I got up in just enough time to see the main deal happening. And I don't know if any of you watched that event, that coronation. There was a whole lot of gospel elements involved in it. It was a really pretty, to be honest with you, the service itself, it was a religious service, was very gospel-centered. There was a point in that service, in that ceremony, where Prince Charles was brought to the center in front of the high altar, and his queen consort was taken off to the left, And the Prince Charles turned and faced the altar, and the Archbishop of Canterbury, in his role and function, began to literally disrobe him, took off the robe that he had on, that Prince Charles had, took off the small crown that he had, the princess crown, began to pull off the inner garment, took off the sash that was around him, and he was there in a linen-like shirt, Prince Charles was. And about that time, a different men, attendants, began to bring out these three screens. And you're kind of wondering what's going on. Prince Charles turned away from the audience, faced the high altar, and these screens came around him. And these men stood on three different sides, open towards the altar, and you're not certain what's going on, so the announcers are telling you that he is now in a private ceremony, as semi-private as it can be with millions of people on TV, but you're not able to see it happening. He's being anointed now as the King of England. The Archbishop of Canterbury took the oil, and he anointed Prince Charles's hands to do the work of God. He anointed his chest so that he might have a heart after God. He anointed his feet so that his feet might go in the direction always with leading the country towards God. Now, it's debatable whether or not you would say that is happening in that country or not, but what you are seeing by what has happened right there is something that has its origination in the Old Testament right there. This is the very first time, the story that was just read, this is the very first anointing of the monarch, of the king, who would be the king of Israel, or through that the monarchy would come through. That oil was the oil that was used for Prince Charles, also for the oil that would have been used for Saul, was an anointing to be able to say symbolically that you are now anointed by the Holy Spirit to do the work of God, for the plan of God that He has for you. You know, over the last several weeks, I don't know, just quickly to catch you up, how did we get here where Saul is being anointed as the prince over the people? The people have, the Israelites, they no longer wanted to have Samuel as their leader. Really, I should say, they began to look and realize that Samuel's sons were not like Samuel. They were scoundrels, and they said, Samuel, we don't want to be led by them. Give us a king like all the rest of the nations around us. Give us a king. Samuel tried to talk them out of it. No. And the Lord said, Samuel, I've heard their plea. You go ahead. Give them the king. Give them the king. Anoint the king that I send to you. You do that. Really, what the Lord said is anoint the prince who will be prince over my people. And so, here we are, last week, you remember Saul is looking for his daddy's donkeys, can't find them anywhere. His servant says, I know a man. They end up in the town of Gibeah, or Ramah, and as they end up in Ramah, these young ladies, these girls going to get water, is the seer here, is the prophet here? Yeah, there he is, you need to go get him. You need to go meet him. They go up, they begin to talk to him. Saul goes up and begins to talk to Samuel. And Samuel says, today you're going to go with me. We're going to go up to the high place. You're going to eat with me. Can you imagine Saul? Wait a minute, I'm looking for some donkeys, and now I'm going up to the high place. You're going to have me eat with you. He said, not only are you going to eat with me, you're going to be at the prominent place. You're going to be at the head of the table. And do you remember what Saul said? Why me? I'm just the lowly tribe of Benjamin. We're the smallest tribe. My clan is what brings worth to that? And then Samuel tells the servant, bring the choice cut of meat and set it before him. After the meal, he then said, hey, you're going to come and stay with me. You're going to come and stay with me. They go and they spend the night. Saul and his servant spend the night on the roof of the house. On the roof of the house. At daybreak, Samuel comes out and says, hey, Saul, get up. It's time to go. He comes down, and they begin to leave the city, and Samuel says, tell your young man to go ahead. I have something to tell you. This is where we are right now at the beginning of chapter 10. This is where we are right now. I believe what you're going to see today What I think you're going to see today, Samuel's going to answer a question that Saul, I think, has. And I think many of us have. I think he's going to answer this question before Saul ever can ask it. How do I know all that has happened and what you're telling me is really true? How do I know that that the real king has anointed me to be prince? How do I know that that's really going to be true? And Samuel is going to give him some confirmations of what that looks like. So with that, I want to read, we're going to really focus in on verse 1, and we're going to walk through the rest of it. But the two points that I have today come out of verse 1. The very first point that I want you to see today is that the king is the one who calls. The king, the true king, is the one who calls. Notice in verse 1 what is written here. It says, "Then Samuel took a flask of oil and poured it on his head." I want to make sure I stop right here. Samuel didn't pour it on his head. Samuel poured it on the head of Saul, okay? Because we're breaking in a story here. It says, "Then he poured it on his head and he kissed him and said, 'Has not the Lord anointed you to be the prince over his people Israel? And you shall reign over the people of the Lord, and you will save them from the hand of their surrounding enemies.'" What Samuel says to Saul right here is exactly what the Lord God told him in chapter 9, verse 16. He repeated the word of the Lord to Saul. This is what you're about. All that has happened to you, can you imagine Saul, all the things that he's remembering that happened? 3 days ago, I left to go look for animals, and now all of a sudden, I've had a flask of oil. Could have been about this size. We don't know the exact size of it. But what we do know is that the anointing oil that was ordained by God, you can find it in Exodus 30. Go look at it later. It was anointing oil that was used in that day was only used to anoint prophets and priests. Priest to begin with. It was a very sweet, had a very distinctive smell to it. Would have had myrrh and cinnamon, a type of oil, a spice called acacia. It was a very sweet smell. And in fact, the scripture tells us that he anointed him with it. This isn't like a little dabble do you, put a little mark on your forehead. This is, he's going to take it and he's going to pour it over Samuel's head. He would have taken that bottle, he would have poured it, that flask, poured it over his head. It would have come down across his head, down his face. If he had a beard, we would assume that he did of that day. But if he had a beard, it would have run through his beard and come down on his outer garment. He would have recognized the smell. You know why? Because it was only used to anoint priests and prophets. And now, this is the inauguration of the monarchy. The monarchy that the people had been crying out for. They made a plea, "Give us a king." And the Lord said, "Okay, we're going to give them a king." In fact, really what I'm not going to do is I'm not going to give them a king. I'm going to give them a prince. But through that prince, the eternal king would come, King Jesus one day. You see, the Lord takes even our request, as misguided as they can be sometimes, and he will use them in his providential plan for his purposes. He'll use them. And this is what you're seeing right here. Can you imagine the confusion? I want you to go back for just a moment. Try to put yourself where Saul is. All of the things that have happened in the last 3 days, and now I'm drenched with oil that's been reserved only for priests and prophets, and I'm hearing, "I'm going to be the prince over the people?" Can you imagine how disorienting that may feel at some level to realize, okay, the prophet has told me that the king, this is what the king's going to do in my life. Do you realize that that this is a lot like, or at least I think, this is a lot like what happens when the Lord God calls us many times? Many of us, just like Saul, do you notice that Saul wasn't looking to be king? He wasn't seeking after God. He was looking for donkeys. He was out doing just the normal days things, and his life was intersected by the prophet, and everything changed at that moment. I remember when I came to know Christ as Savior. I wasn't looking for Jesus. I wasn't asking for him. I had some situations and circumstances in my own life that created much turmoil. And the Lord intervened my life with someone who could talk to me about Christ and how he would change my entire life. And he, listen, nobody in here, I would venture to say, was looking for Jesus when you found him. There was probably a set of circumstances in your life that you were involved in. Things happening that as you begin to look back, and I want to ask you, would you do that for just a moment? Would you take just a moment and begin to think, when did I come to Christ? Do you remember when you came to Christ? Do you remember the things that happened that led you to the point at which you surrendered your life to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? Do you know the scripture tells us in Ephesians chapter 2 that we were dead in our trespasses and sin, but we were made alive in Christ. You know that dead people can't do anything. The scripture tells us, Jesus said, you once were lost and now you were found, only because he has found us. We were once blind. Blind people can't find anything. Our sight has to be made whole so that we can even find our way. The scripture tells us in Romans chapter 3 that no one seeks after God. No one seeks after him. The scripture tells us in 1 Corinthians that we've been made alive, that God made us alive in Christ, and he anointed us with his Holy Spirit. Do you know that when you come to know Christ as your Lord and Savior, you get all of Christ and all of the Spirit you're going to get? He gives you everything of him. He asks you to give him all of you, and he gives you all of him. You are anointed with him. Do you know why you're anointed with the Holy Spirit of God? So that you can do all that he's ordained so that you could do. Not in your power, but in the power of the Holy Spirit. You're going to see in the scripture here in just a moment that the only reason we are anointed with the Holy Spirit is so that we can accomplish the Word of God. We're not anointed with the Spirit so that we can do what we want. We're anointed with the Spirit to accomplish all that the Lord has sent us forth to do. You see, I venture to say, if you're thinking, if you will remember, the intersection of your life meeting Christ is much like Saul meeting Samuel. And all of a sudden, someone explains to you, this is the gospel. This is the gospel. I remember when the gospel became real to me. Listen, I grew up in a church. I did all the right things. I knew all the right answers. You know, when you grow up in church, God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, go on mission. Those are kind of the answers to everything. Sitting in Sunday school. So I thought I was okay. But then my life was intersected, and I know I need you. I don't understand. I didn't understand all of the things that were going on around me for me to come into contact with the true gospel. But I knew something was going on. I remember being in my room. I remember the man's name was Donnie that told me the gospel. And I remember getting on my knees and saying, God, if what Donnie says is true, and I believe what Donnie says is true, then I need you as my Savior. I need you to change me. In that moment, when I finished that prayer and I said amen, I didn't see stars. There were no fireworks that went off. I didn't hear an audible voice. But can I tell you that when I said amen, I knew everything had changed in my life. Everything had changed. Folks, did you realize this is exactly where Saul is today? His life has been intersected with a man who brought the word of God to him, and all of the things that had happened, he's now been anointed, and the call of God is on his life that he's not going to be the king because there's only one king. You know that, don't you? There may be presidents and princes and kings and dictators and rulers, but there's one king. His name is God. He is on his throne today. Today, on his throne. And he says, you've been now anointed as prince. Can you imagine what is going on? His life changed that day. In this room today, right here, I do not know all of you. But I can be assured that today there's someone in here, your life has, you've been brought here today so that your life would be intersected with a man who would tell you that Jesus is the answer to everything that you're dealing with today. He's the answer to it. You may be going, dude, I came here because my friend invited me. I drive by here every week, and I've seen this building, and I thought, well, I'm going to go in. Listen, I did a Google search, and you're the closest thing to us. You know, I'm here because someone told me this was a fun place to be. There's friendly people. I'm going to come here. Can I tell you, that may be the context, but the reason that you're here is that the Lord Jesus intersected your life for today so that you might hear the gospel, the good news that Jesus is the answer to where you are sitting today. He's the only thing. He's the only man. He's the only person. He's the only Savior that can save you out of the situation that you're in. And today, He is calling you. He's calling you. How do I know that? Because no natural man, no natural woman is going to get up and come to church on a Sunday morning. They're just not going to do that. You go, really? No. Because the natural man is against anything that's spiritual. So the fact that you're even sitting here today means the Holy Spirit is doing something in your life. I would tell you that He's calling you to surrender your life to Him, to come to Him as Savior. To come to Him as Savior. I didn't fully understand that, I'll be honest with you. I knew that some things had changed, but I'm like going, is this real? Is this real? I'm thankful the Lord didn't leave me clueless. He didn't leave Saul clueless either. He had some confirmations that He wanted him to see. And so the second point quickly is this, is that if the king calls, the king will also confirm. Notice the last half of verse 1. The last half of verse 1 says this, Samuel speaking to Saul, and he says this, and this shall be the sign to you that the Lord has anointed you to be the prince over His heritage. I want to read that again. And this shall be the sign to you that the Lord has anointed you to be the prince over His heritage. All of the things that have happened to Saul up until this point, they are not coincidental. They're all interrelated. It is by the providence of God that he is where he is. And I want you to catch the specificity. There's a lot of detail here. Our God is a God of detail, and I want you to catch the detail. Look at verse 2. These aren't going to be on the screen. If you got a scripture, I want you to be able to see it. In verse 2, Samuel tells Saul, he says, listen, you're going to meet two men. You're going to meet two men on the way to Rachel's tomb. Rachel's a pretty specific person. It's not Joshua. It's not Jeremiah's. It's not Billy's or Bobby's. He says, you're going to meet them on the way to Rachel's tomb. And when you meet these two, one of those men is going to look at you and they're going to say to you, hey, your daddy's worried about you. He has stopped worrying about the donkeys and now he's worried about you. This is exactly what Saul told his young protege. Do you remember? And then the guy said, hey, I know a man up here. This is going to happen. Verse 3 says, and then when you hear that, then you're going to keep going on and you're going to go to the oak at Tabor. That's pretty specific. A very definite tree in a very definite place. He says, you're going to go to the oak at Tabor and you're going to meet three men. One of those men are going to have three goats. One of those men is going to have three loaves of bread. And one of those men are going to have a skin of wine. Folks, that's specific. The specificity is so that Saul knows what has happened is true in my life. He says, when you meet them, one of those men is going to give you two loaves of bread. You need to take those two loaves. After that, you're going to go to your hometown. Excuse me. You're going to go to your hometown. You're going to go to Gibeah of Elohim, the hill of God. When you go to Gibeah, as you begin to walk in, you're going to meet a group of prophets that are going to come out. And when those prophets come out, they're going to have a tambourine, they're going to have a lyre, they're going to have a flute, they're going to be playing music, they're going to be dancing, and they're going to be prophesying. And the scripture tells us, he said, and the Spirit of God will rush upon you, and when that happens, you do whatever the Lord calls you to do. We know that this happens. We'll see in a few moments. And he began to prophesy also. He says, not only is that going to happen, once that happens, I want you then to go from there and go to Gilgal and wait on me. And in 7 days, I'm going to come to you. And I'm going to tell you what to do next. I'm going to tell you what to do next. All of these signs, all of these, he treats as one. Notice what he says in verse 9. In verse 9, he says, when he turned his back to leave Samuel, when Saul turned his back to leave Samuel, God gave him another heart. And all of these signs came to pass that day. How many of the signs came to pass that day? Boy, y'all were listening. I appreciate that. Not just one of them, not two of them, all of them. I repeat myself every week. Because you know why? Because you need to hear it and I need to be reminded of it. What the Lord says, his word, what the Lord says, he's going to do. You don't have to doubt his word. If you're wondering, his word is true and right, and it will happen. You can count on it. I want to take just a moment here because in the coming days, you're going to see Saul, and there's going to be some questions that revolve around verses 9 and 10 here. Notice in verse 9, it says, when he turned his back to leave Samuel, God gave him another heart. I truly believe when he says that God gave him another heart, that he gave him a heart to do all that the Spirit would lead him to do. That the Spirit came upon him to accomplish a task. I do not believe this is salvific. I don't believe this is Ezekiel 36. I will take out your heart of stone and I will give you a heart of flesh, because you're going to see in the coming days that Saul's life does not line up with transformation. But wherever, notice in verse 10, verse 10 says that when he went into Gibeah, that the Spirit of God rushed on him. It didn't indwell him, it rushed upon him. And where the Spirit of God rushed upon him, he was empowered to do all that the Spirit had intended him to do. And do you know what the Spirit intended him to do? All that the Word of God had told him to do. Do you realize that the Spirit of God is not given to us to treat any way? The Spirit of God is not given to us so that we can have power to do whatever we want. The Spirit of God is given to us to accomplish the Word of God. This is why in verse 8, when Samuel said to Saul, after all of this, you go to Gilgal and you wait on me, and I'm going to tell you what to do next. Not to obey Samuel, but Samuel was the bringer of God's word. And so you wait on the word of God, and then the power of the Spirit is going to give you the power to do what he has called you to do. Folks, I want to say to you and to me today, right here, wherever the Spirit of God comes and resides, everything changes. Now, I want to repeat that because I don't need you to hear this. Where the Spirit of God comes and where the Spirit of God resides, everything changes. You see, the Spirit of God, when we surrender our life to him and he gives us the Spirit at that moment, did you realize everything about us changes? The scripture tells us in Ezekiel 35, 36, I said this a minute ago, he said, I'll take out your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh that beats for me to do the will of the Lord, being indwelt by the Spirit. Everything changes. Everything changed when the Spirit of God came on Saul. Did you notice what it said there? Look down there in verse 11, I believe it is. It says there that when he began to prophesy, when the Spirit rushed over and he began to prophesy, that the people around Saul, remember he's in his hometown, they looked at him and said, that looks like Saul. Isn't that the son of Kish? Wait a minute. I recognize this guy, but he's doing things that don't line up. This doesn't look like what Saul used to do. You see, Saul had been changed by the power of the Spirit. He'd been changed by it. So much so that even his uncle, the scripture tells us, his uncle looks at Saul and says, Saul, you look different. Listen, I need to know where you've been and who you've been talking to. What's been going on? He said, listen, I went looking for my dad's donkeys, and all of a sudden, we couldn't find them. We met Samuel, and Samuel said they'd been found, and we left, and we went on. Notice that he didn't say anything about the anointing of being prince over the people. That should be assigned to us here. He said, listen, so we've met Samuel, and he said, they've been found. Go home. Go home. When I came to know Christ the Savior, I want to point out something to you. And I think maybe you could hear this in your own life. When the Holy Spirit took up residence in my life, did you know that my want-tos changed? The things I wanted to do, they changed.
I found this on the web.
Thank you. Did you know that my mouth began to change? My tongue that used to flap a lot, flapped a lot less. Do you know the places that my feet used to go? No longer didn't go. Do you know the things I used to put my hands to? They began to change. My heart changed overnight. Do you know why that happened? Because I had been anointed by the Holy Spirit of God, who had come to take up residence in my life. Folks, today, if you're claiming Christ as your Savior, that means the Holy Spirit has come to reside in you. And there are some confirmations that should be evident in your life. The places I used to go, I don't go. The desires of my life, they've begun to change. The things I used to say, the pattern of my tongue and my speech, it changes. I get a new family. I remember, if you'll indulge me for just a moment, I remember at the age of 21, I'd already known Christ. You've probably never experienced this, but I went through a period in my life where I tried to live with one foot on this side and one foot on this side. And I remember at 21, I was living with a buddy. And I remember it's Saturday morning. I can see it. I remember it. It's indelibly marked. I woke up at like 6:37 in the morning. I don't know any 21-year-olds who do that automatically. I remember waking up, and I'm laying there, and I remember I've never heard an audible voice from the Lord, but I felt an impression of the Lord saying to me, Kyle, you're not living the life that you surrendered your life to. You're not doing what I've called you to do. And I felt in that moment, the impression that I felt in this moment is this is a live or die moment for me. I remember getting up, rolled out of my little twin bed. It was just big enough. That little room I had was just big enough for a twin bed and a sliding closet. I went over, I took my clothes, I crunched them together, lifted them off the rack, I threw them on that twin bed, and I took the four corners of those sheets, I rolled it up, and I left, and I never went back to those people. Today, there are some of you in here, you're claiming Jesus Christ, and the confirmations of your life don't line up. And for some of you today, you need to walk away from some people. You need to walk away from some things. You need to turn. It may be I've got to get rid of a computer. I need to get rid of a phone. For some of you, it may be that my job, I've got to change my job. Because the confirmations of your life, you're claiming one thing, yet you know what a confirmation is? When the Holy Spirit comes into our life, sin no longer is desirable. Is it fun? Yeah, if it wasn't fun, you wouldn't continue to do it. But the desire of our life is, I don't want to do that anymore. And if we're not fighting sin in our life, there's a question of whether or not you really truly are a follower of Christ. Some of you today, you're coming here and you're thinking, I was really hopeful for a little encouragement, Kyle. This is my encouragement. Is that you keep doing what you're doing, you're going to keep getting what you're getting. You've surrendered your life. The King has called you. He's given you some confirmations, things that are really, these are all things that are internal. And if we're called to follow the Spirit who has anointed us in that. And so we need to obey what he's telling us. Can I tell you a couple of things that are external? Take your Bibles and look over at Galatians chapter 5. Some of you already know where I'm going with this. This is a pet passage of mine, if you will. I love this passage. You see, when the Holy Spirit comes to take up residence in your life, when the Holy Spirit pulls out the heart of stone and gives you a heart of flesh and it begins to beat for Him, then your life pattern should begin to exhibit something that looks like the Spirit who's indwelt you, the Spirit who has anointed you with His power. It's called the fruit of the Spirit. Look at this with me. The Scripture, this is outward confirmations. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Do you know what a confirmation that the King has called you and that the Spirit is alive in you and has anointed you to accomplish the work of God, the Word of God, is that when an angry man says, he begins to become more loving. When a man or a woman who lacks self-control in their life begins to exhibit control over their emotions. When someone who is so demanding, you got to get on this, you got to do it my way, let's get on this, you begin to experience kindness and a gentleness, a patience with others. My experience is when these things begin to happen in your life, many times you're the last one to begin to recognize that they're actually happening. You know why? Because where the Spirit begins to reside and change begins to happen, that fruit begins to grow. As gradually as it grows, many times, the people that are around you begin to recognize it. They begin to see it. They begin to notice it. They begin to say, Bob, Susie, Lance, Sheila, where you been? Who you been with? Something's different about you. Do you realize that's an open door? It's an open door for us to be able to say, I've been with Jesus. He's changed me. My life is different. I didn't recognize that all of this is happening, but I'm thanks be to God because it's the power of the Spirit in me. I couldn't do this. It's the Spirit alive in me. Today, some of you, the King is calling you to His kingdom. And He's calling you to submit, to surrender, to bow, to proclaim, Jesus, I need you to forgive me of my sin, to change me. Last night, there was a young man who came back and prayed that very prayer. And as we were talking, I said, now that you're in the kingdom of God, you've been anointed by the Spirit. I want you to know that the confirmations are going to begin to come. They may not come overnight, but we're going to begin to see as you grow in Him. Some of you in here today, you've been in the kingdom for a while, but there's not been a whole lot of fruit in your life. I want to say this as lovingly as I can. If there's never been a change because of Jesus, there may not be any Jesus in your life. If you claim Christ and the Holy Spirit lives within you, do you know it's now our opportunity to allow the Spirit of God to live through us and to begin to bear fruit? Let that be externally seen and confirmed in your life. Father, let's pray. Father, I come to you and I thank you for the privilege that you give us. God, I want to pray right now, and I want to ask you to do a work that only you can do. Holy Spirit, I would pray and ask you right now, would you come? Would you remind us of all that Jesus has said, all that he has done. Would you convict us in areas of our life where we need to be convicted? Holy Spirit, would you draw us to Christ? I ask that you would save people. We need you today, Jesus. You're the only one who can fix where we are. You're the only one who can change lives. And it's in your name that I ask these things today. Amen. I ask that you stand, please.